Voices' premier food podcast and only food podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bullock. I'm here with my regular guests.
Talk faster, Eric. I'm hungry.
You're so hungry, God.
That would be Danielle and Daniel. We're going to get right into it.
We're ungrateful.
They're very ungrateful for all the effort that I've put into research.
We all put effort.
All right. Anyways, okay. Today,
McConaughey.
So, you know how it's study season and you want something quick? Well, we thought, since Tasty videos are 30 seconds long each, they must be quick to cook, right?
A minute to 2 minutes.
Yeah, a minute to 2 minutes. Not too long.
Same amount of time.
So we did this. Today we're doing the history of the cooking show, and Tasty and Taste Made recipes. So we actually cooked our food that we're tasting. So I guess that means we have a little bit of bias inherent in this.
No, but honestly, this looks bomb.
But
I don't know. I feel like I might be my greatest critic, other than my mother.
No. Okay. That's loaded. We're gonna explore that later. All right. Let's get right into the history. History of the cooking show. So New York Times Magazine has this amazing interactive timeline by Kathleen Collins. She wrote a book called Watching What We Eat, and it's a book about the history of cooking shows. You should check it out. You should check out this timeline. It's an amazing timeline. We're going to start, follow me back, everyone, to 1924. 1924 is the year when Betty Crocker, the fictional mascot made in 1921, arrived on the radio to give people advice about cooking. Moving forward, in 1926, we have Housekeeper's Chat. The U.S. Department of Agriculture created Aunt Sammy, which was Uncle Sam's wife.
Where did I hear about that?
I don't know. But guess what? She gave out useful advice and information for homemakers across the country, which is super weird. But they were broadcast on a variety of different stations. If we move, we're going past the 1940s into 1946. Cookbook author James Beard began demonstrating recipes in the first network television cooking show. That's 1946.
I didn't know James Beard was the first.
He was the first.
Oh, before they have the
child.
Award for him. The James Beard Awards for like really cool cooks.
Wow.
It's all right. I'm going to try to talk less so we can eat faster.
Yeah, that's fine. He seems pretty cool. 1947.
Yes, talk less on this podcast.
Kelvinator Appliances sponsored a program featuring Alma Kitchell. Kitchell.
Who?
Alma Kitchell.
Okay.
And this was kind of the first product placement TV cooking show. 1947, European-born and cordon bleu-trained restaurateur Dion Lucas brought the French cooking to American television. First known as To the Queen's Taste, the show later came to be called The Dion Lucas Show. I'm going to skip a few and we're going to go into the 1960s.
Oh,
Julia Child!
Guess what happens in the 1960s? Julia Child comes on the air with the French chef. She popularized and democratized French cooking on a large scale.
Don't be afraid.
If anyone has seen Julie and Julia, beautiful movie.
So
I really recommend
it. Wonderful movie.
Meryl.
I love Amy
Meryl's
Adams.
In it. I love Meryl, so.
I mean, they're both great.
Yeah.
Also, the dude from The Mindy Project is in it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he Danny?
Yeah, Danny.
Wow, I love that guy.
Yeah. Right.
Ready? 1972. Cooking Cajun. Justin Wilson brought the idea of regional cooking to television through Cajun cuisine. Though Cajun cuisine would not become a household phrase until a decade later. Jumping ahead to the 1980s, Jacques Pepin is the
very
chef
strange.
And cooking instructor from Everyday Cooking.
He's great.
And he brought more French techniques into home cooking with his TV show.
For those of you who like food podcasts, there's a podcast called The Sporkful that's excellent. They did a really good interview with him last year.
Is that the one that did the hot dog
Yeah.
Hot dog sandwich. Moving on.
Guess what happened in 1986? Big names. Big names hitting the cooking show world.
Emerald?
Close. Martha Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Holiday.
Close.
Have you seen her show with Snoop Dogg?
I haven't yet. Is it really funny?
So in 1986, she made her television debut on PBS with Holiday Entertaining with Martha Stewart. She's been in the market for a while. She's been there for a while.
What a woman.
1993 is when the Television Food Network makes its debut.
The jailhouse.
I love Food Network. Chopped. Good show.
Chopped is so good. Emeril Live hits the stage in 1997.
Bam.
Live music, bam! Cheering audiences, and bam! Ubiquitous catchphrases. The modern celebrity chef is born. We're going to hop ahead. Well, I want to find the one where... Where is... Sorry, hold on.
You're so prepared for this, Erica.
There are just so many parts in this timeline that I want to talk about. Iron Chef debuts in 1999.
The Japanese version or
yes,
the American version?
The Japanese one. It's a good and show. Iron Chef America follows in 2005.
Hello.
I really
it's a little,
the,
like, over the top.
My favorite year, everyone, 2001, 30-minute meals with Rachel Ray
just
begins.
Abbreviate
I just
everything.
Want you guys to look at how 2000s she looks in this photo. Wow. She's wearing, like, a choker.
She's got that, like, bob thing going on.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
She was on Gilmore Girls.
Amazing.
Rachel Ray? Rachel
yeah. They had, like, a bunch of celebrity chefs as, like a running gag throughout a year of the life. She was on it.
Huh. 2002, the lovely and sardonic
He's
Anthony
so
Bourdain.
Oh, love Anthony.
Comes
Bourdain.
Onto the stage with his beautiful Food
I feel
Network
like,
subgenre.
I feel like talking to him would just be awful. He seems so pretentious to me.
I don't know. Him and Obama had a pretty nice conversation.
I mean, that's fine.
2005,
like, nice
the
guy.
Next Food Network star and Iron Chef America come onto TV. What else do we have? Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Guy Fieri!
In 2007, I'm still bitter that Danielle thinks that that is her biggest source of food information. I bet you wouldn't even know if I hadn't have had this podcast that that was when Drivers and Dives was founded. Emerald Green.
You are disgusting.
So Emerald Green moved to Discovery Planet. Discovery Planet Green.
Emerald
oh, Emerald,
Green.
Emerald Lagasse.
Yeah, I was like, what? That's
no,
not his name.
Because the name of the show is Emerald Green because he moved from Food Network to the Discovery Planet.
Why?
That's a great question. I think
his contract
just ran out.
Why did they have a food show on the Discovery Channel?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's like an animal channel. And since we
oh, no.
are doing...
You see them in all stages of life.
Since we are doing Taste Made and Tasty, I thought I would mention that Taste Made was founded in 2012.
What about Tasty? When did Tasty, they start making Tasty videos?
I don't know, recently. It's like a BuzzFeed thing.
It wasn't that recently.
I mean, I don't know. I just kept seeing them on, like, my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, mesmerizing.
They're really fun to watch.
Erica and I, one night... sat and watched like 200 of them.
Oh my god, talk about that.
Loop.
Talk about that.
I think like, I came by when we were at like 80.
Yeah, we watched like there was like a YouTube playlist of like 200 tasty videos we put out on like 2x speed on YouTube and just sat and watched them, all of them, for like the better part of like, it was like 2 hours or something
it
like that.
It was a lot.
It was a lot, but they're just like so mesmerizing. Like Erica's roommates would come in and be like, oh, I should go do work, but just like sat down for a little bit and like would watch. Because like, I don't cook, but, like, I love
watching
those
videos.
Watching
that shit on 2x speed is, like, you're in a real bad drug trip.
It's like
really,
a trance.
I thought it was, like, a really great drug trip. Like, I was enjoying it. I was like, wow.
It's like, well, I mean, if you're not hungry, you're just kind of like, wow, that's beautiful. But if you're hungry, I'm sure that would be hell on earth.
We were eating, though, right? We like, had some sort of snack.
We were eating a tub
of
ice
cream. Post-election.
Good times.
So, Tasty was founded on July 31st, 2015. As you guys all probably know, Tasty is the number one form of procrastination for people on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
And that is scientific analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, great.
Factor analysis.
Can we eat now?
No, because I have a few fun facts.
I can't!
These aren't going to be fun. I'm hungry.
Taste Made is now broadcast in 8 languages. It has 1.5 billion monthly views.
Jesus.
Yes.
That's a lot
it's
of views.
Insane. I have a fun fact about Food Network. Iron Chef America contestants don't actually guess their secret ingredients. They're given 3 options that they get to think about overnight. And then, other fun fact, the smell of the secret ingredient is masked with the smell of bacon. They put bacon smoke nearby so that the contestants won't know which of the 3 it'll be. But they do know that it's going to be one of the 3 that
okay,
they're showing
I can
before.
Deal with that. I'm glad it's not like they just tell them. Because, like, honestly, I don't think anyone could just, like, on the spot be like, well, I'm going to make a tuna tartare and, like, tuna blah 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 and a tuna dessert, like, on the spot. So, it's fine.
Another fun fact, if you guys ever want to work for Food Network, they
so
give
fun.
Away caviar, foie gras, black truffles, etc. for free to all of the people who are making the shows because they have so much left over and
honestly,
they can't
yeah.
get rid of it.
I was going to say, if they have like leftovers, you could probably just like, on Great British Bake Off, everyone just like eat each other's food at the end of the episode that they make because they make like big ass things and there's like 4 people tasting it. So
yeah.
like all the other contestants are like, let me just, and the hosts sometimes will just be like, let me just get up.
That looks lovely.
One more fun fact, the last one, all logos on every food show, unless they are sponsored by that company, have to be Greeked, which means they are just scribbled over, doodled over, stickered, taped, painted, etc. And there's like a whole team that just does that. Can you imagine how terrible that would be for the one where they go through the grocery store?
Oh my god, guys, grocery games?
Horrible!
No, on Chopped it's great because they can't say like Oreos, so they'll be like
sandwich cookies.
Sandwich cookies with cream. Yeah, you're like,
okay, that is, I know you guys are really anxious to eat all this food. That is the end of my fun facts in history. Right, I think cooking shows are fascinating, and it's really crazy how they moved into the internet sphere.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about our experiences making all these things. So, Daniel, you had an appetizer. What did you make?
I did. I made a potato tornado, or is it a tornado potato?
It's like a potato
tornado. What are those two things?
I think it's potato tornado.
It's a potato tornado. What you do is you take a white potato, you stick a skewer through it, and then you take a knife and you kind of cut it diagonally, and then you spread apart the pieces. So you get this potato that has, like, it's just like a spread potato. Mm. Then you basically cover it in melted butter using a brush, which was fun. You put, like, a mixture of Parmesan, pepper, some paprika, some garlic powder, and you kind of crust it on there. Then you just put it in the oven for 25 to 30 minutes. Ended in with 30. It was actually really hard to cut and separate. In the video, they made it look like real easy, but in the it is actually pretty difficult.
It looks like a beautiful tornado, though.
It does look like a beautiful tornado. How does it taste? I haven't eaten it.
It's very good.
Yeah?
It's a little crunchy.
I was going to say, I could use a little bit more in the oven, but like...
It's a little crunchy? Down. Oh, you mean like it's not cooked through enough?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but I don't hate it. It's good.
Honestly, for the first potato tornado, mm-hmm. 10 out of 10.
It's like flavorful and like delicious.
It's flavorful and delicious.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so tasting videos and taste made videos are kind of supposed to bring cooking to like the everyday consumer, right? Mm-hmm. So how would you say this recipe was to make?
I mean, it took a like pretty long time, honestly, to like separate the potato.
Mm-hmm.
And I did four of them.
You did. We have an extra.
It's not like the easiest thing to do in the world.
I think they make it look very easy.
They make it look really easy, but I don't know.
It could have also been us watching it on 2x speed.
No, I watched it at normal speed. It's like a minute long video. I don't know. I'd make this again.
This is great.
And figure out a way to make them thinner. Like, they probably have a potato spiraler or something.
No, they used a knife. They just did it so well. I just don't know how to do it that well. Yeah. My knife skills are not that good.
Yeah.
Mm. But, yeah.
It tastes very good. The seasoning's on point.
Yeah.
How would you say the pricing of your ingredients were?
Oh, it was all pretty cheap. The potatoes were 99 cents each. The Parmesan cheese was like $3 for all of the cheese that I used. And the rest of the spices I had.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's butter, but like, I had butter.
Nice.
So, no, not a bad deal at all.
It tastes delicious.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So my contribution to this meal was kind of just a handmade salad.
It's delicious.
Which was not a tasty thing.
It was not a tasty thing. I just like making salads.
She's just from California.
So I did a spinach and arugula mix. I sliced some apples. I put some dried cranberries. I toasted some almond slivers and put it in there. Then I got some crumbled goat cheese, drizzled it in olive oil and balsamic glaze.
It's absolutely delicious.
It's very good.
It's a really good salad.
Thank you. I love making salads. So this was just my contribution. Really quick, really easy. Honestly, if you make like a big batch of this, you can keep it for a few days. It's really nice to just add to stuff.
Mm. Oh. Goat cheese is so good.
My other contribution.
Salad is delicious.
Oh, shout out Trader Joe's for the goat cheese.
Yeah. It's the one with like garlic and herb.
Sponsor us.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
My other contribution that I think everyone's very excited about. I know I am.
I made
coffee rubbed steak.
Yep.
I want to hear everyone's reactions before I talk about my experience with
making. Why don't you listen to this taste test, listeners? Listen to that steak.
Hello.
Sorry.
Oh, it's
I'll be weird. Honest, it's a little cold right now.
But it's good. It's so good.
Mmm.
The steak is bomb.
Oh, it's got such nice flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's like spicy. It's got like red pepper flakes in it, yeah?
Here is what the... It's really
Ooh.
Easy. So you buy... okay, this I would say is probably the most expensive
one
that we did.
It's good with the salad, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everyone. We're back after that terrifying moment of the smoke alarm going off.
Sorry, my house is a... Our smoke alarm is just like super sensitive.
This is a very live podcast. Okay, so the process of making this was actually... I've never cooked beef before. And this was super
possible?
Easy.
This is so good.
So you just buy like really nice ribeye boneless. So that was the most expensive. That was about $21 for a pound and a half of steak.
They're huge. We have a lot of steak.
We have a lot of steak though. We have enough for like four or five people. And then you mix together brown sugar, coffee grounds, red pepper flakes, paprika, dry mustard, which I had to buy, garlic powder, salt, and pepper. So, like, most of the spices that I keep around the house, and then you just rub it on the steak, put some oil in a pan, heat it to medium, and then you cook it for 6 minutes on both sides.
I think we overcooked it a tiny bit.
I overcooked the first one. The second one is more rare.
Yeah, this is beautiful, though.
So that is my contribution. I'm really happy with this.
No, rub is really good.
And honestly, steak is very daunting to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like that thing you buy at fancy restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
This is so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, like, didn't take
it's really not that hard to make.
It's like 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really impressive looking.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Dessert time? Just to try the dessert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I made a cookie. I'm bad at cooking, as has been well established on this podcast. I don't...
Especially by you talking about it.
Because yeah. I'm bad at it.
Yeah, but we have no evidence to prove that.
Yeah. Well, right now I'm not really doing myself any favors because this cookie looks amazing. But... So, it was supposed to be a cast iron skillet cookie, and it has, it's a chocolate cookie with chocolate chips, and has caramel in the middle. So, we were supposed to do it in a cast iron skillet, but our skillet wasn't seasoned, so we decided to season that, so I just did it in a pan. But, it was just, like, regular cookie mix, or, like, creamed some butter and sugar together.
Creamed is a loose term.
Creamed is a loose term. I didn't have a hand mixer, so I just kind of tried to do it by hand. It's fine.
It worked okay.
Flour, cocoa powder... brown and white sugar, butter, vanilla,
the usual,
salt, yeah. Baking soda. I accidentally put too much baking soda in it. It was supposed to be half a teaspoon.
Oh my god!
Oh,
so good.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah, and chocolate chips, and then you just like put like the little like caramels,
caramel cubes.
Yeah, and then you
Daniel oh. and I hand unwrapped.
All the caramel.
All they of them. Did.
There's which a million pieces of this recipe book. This is
oh, good. Man.
It's really good.
It's so good. It's just like...
I feel like I'm at a fancy restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's so molten inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's like warm and like gooey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I wish the caramel had melted a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, wow. Wow!
Go me.
How easy would you say this one was? As someone who does not like cooking.
As a non-cook, non-baker, it didn't go terribly. Like, it really wasn't that bad. If you just kind of, like, you know, like, follow the recipe and try not to screw it up, it didn't go too poorly.
Did you enjoy doing it? Like, the actual process of baking? Because, like, you gotta mix a bunch of stuff. And,
yeah.
Like...
I'm just... That's probably why I'm not a great cook, because I, like, don't... Like, I don't hate it, but I'm not like, yeah, let's cook.
Mm-hmm.
And this was fun, because I was, like, hanging out with people and cooking, mm-hmm. but, like, at home, if I were to do this by myself, I probably wouldn't be super jazzed about it. But this was fine.
But it tastes great.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly, that is so good.
Yeah. All of this food
all
is
this
amazing.
Was great, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
And, like, pretty easy.
Yeah, it was pretty easy, like, because every time I watch, like, those tasty videos, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do that.
I'm like, I
that
never
looks
make
easy.
Them.
But this really was, like, pretty easy. It's all really good.
Should we talk about our process of, like, how we went from viewing a tasty video to making the food?
Yeah.
I mean, we watched a tasty video, we went to a store, and then...
Well... It was hard to pick a recipe.
I mean, yeah, because there are a lot of good-looking, tasty videos.
But yeah, I mean, it really wasn't that hard of a process.
Because
they give you the recipe, and, like, you also have the visual aid, which
mm-hmm.
actually really helps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Especially with the cookie, because I was like, how much caramel should I put? Like, what is it supposed to look like?
Right.
That's actually super helpful.
Because
mm-hmm. a lot of times with recipes, you're like, I guess this is
well,
okay.
Yeah, and with mine, it was to do, like, a tornado potato, to cut, like, a potato like that. You just, I don't know how you describe that in a book in a way that's, like, really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with words, you could be, like, cut diagonally and try to, like, not cut all the way through the, and it's
yeah.
just, like, ooh, that just seems
yeah.
difficult. Like, so, yeah, and then, like, spread it out. But, like, having the visual was, like, really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having something that you could, like, slow down and pause and whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I didn't use any visuals for mine.
And
I kind of like that because,
you
well,
didn't.
It was easy. I mean,
you didn't, look,
it was,
you
like,
didn't watch the video?
I mean, I watched it, but then I just made it using the written recipe.
Okay.
And I like the combination of the written with the video.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because for me, I'm much better with, like, reading the recipe and putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Mine is just, like, mix the rub, put it on the steak, put the steak on the pan.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. No. I'm impressed with us, guys.
Yeah, no.
This is like a...
We killed it.
Like a fancy-ass meal. This is, like,
Routine.
The fanciest meal I've had in a very
mm-hmm.
long
time. Yeah, we killed it.
It was kind of inexpensive, like... We haven't tallied up the...
So let's rank the items
based
on easiness, efficiency.
What?
Like, how efficient was it to make this?
Like, how...
Isn't,
mine
isn't
was
that the same
easy.
As easy?
No.
I, well, yeah. I guess I meant, like, how long did it take?
Ah. Okay.
Or probably the potatoes last in terms of those projects.
Yeah.
Like, it needed to be cooked more.
You need to cook more.
And it already, like, took
a
while.
You have to have some, like, solid knife skills to do it.
Yeah.
Which, definitely. Like, who has those?
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially the college students.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out, like, I still like it. I finished mine.
My steak experience was I unwrapped the steak, I mixed the rub, I rubbed the steak, I put the steak in the pan, and it took about 25 minutes.
Yeah, steak is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to worry about the fire alarm.
Yeah. Yeah, the cooking was pretty good, and the only thing was, like, well, I did it in a pan as opposed to a cast iron skillet, so it didn't really fill the pan. So, like, maybe if I had used a skillet, it would have been fine, but, like, that was probably my only problem making it, but, like, it really wasn't that hard.
It tastes great. It
tasted really good, I'm happy with it.
Man. So, guys, I guess the, like, moral of the story is the tasty videos are worth it.
Mm-hmm. Try it.
Yeah.
And
I feel like if you did it one more time, you could do it so much better.
Yeah.
Like, I already know, like, what I would do differently with these.
Yeah. Like, with every, and I think, like, with any recipe, it's, like, one of those things, like, you're not going to do it the first time, but, like,
guys, the steak is so good.
Yeah, the steak is bomb.
Do not feel bad about getting mesmerized by the tasty videos.
Mm-hmm.
But feel bad if you never try to make one.
Try one.
Try one. It's
this
fun.
This is, like...
Even Danielle did it.
So I did. If I can do it, anyone can do it, honestly.
I wasn't going to say it.
Anyone have any closing thoughts before we continue our meal?
No, let's eat.
Let's eat.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. This was really fun, and we're glad we did this. I'd recommend doing this before you guys go away for the holidays. It's a fun way to hang out with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a nice dinner.
Oh, especially with finals, like, and you have, like, the study days?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just take, like, 2 hours.
Oh. Yeah. It really didn't take that long. We thought we were going to take longer than we did.
We started getting ready at, like, 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. What time is it now?
It's, like, 7:30.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, guys.
High five.
Oh, yeah. No, we need to come on with this. Yeah. That wasn't too loud. Because sometimes when they're too loud, it hurts a lot. We're stalling because Erica's chewing.
Yeah, I was chewing a piece of caramel and I got stuck in my mouth. Thank you for listening, everyone. This has been fantastic. If you would like to listen to more podcasts that involve less fine dining, you can check out the Voice Podcast Network on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. I have heard that Overcast is a good suggestion.
Do you like it?
I do like it. The podcast app on my phone just, like, never downloads quick enough. Overcast is so much better. Ugh, anyway.
Love it.
Well, sponsor us,
Overcast. we want your money.
Sponsor us, Overcast. Sponsor us, BuzzFeed. Sponsor us, Trader Joe's.
Everyone should just sponsor us. If you would also like to follow us on other social media, we have a lovely Facebook page. You can check out the Georgetown Voice on Facebook. And follow us at G-Town Voice on Twitter or at Halftime GU if you want to follow Halftime. You can follow me on Twitter at Erica A. Bullock. That's Erica with a K. A. Bullock, like Sandra.
No relation.
Thank you, Danielle. Your mouth's a little full of food, but that's okay.
Fine.
Taking a note from Danielle. Danielle, what is your Twitter handle?
My Twitter is dnhewitt96. Follow me. I say things.
Sometimes.
Occasionally.
And Daniel, what's yours?
At drvarg01. I say things way too much.
I say things way too much. Thank you guys for listening. The music that you're hearing is running me out. Thank you. Courtesy of Danielle, the podcast goddess now, is from Ben Sounds. I'm so sorry.
Show some respect.
If you want to look up some more cool fun facts about the history of cooking shows, you should go to TasteBake's website. They're pretty good. Tasty has a great about page on Facebook that I pulled some of this information from. Pop Sugar actually has some fun facts from Food Network shows. NewYorkTimes.com, Origins of the Cooking Show, Interactive Timeline, check that out. And the facts that you wouldn't expect of Food Network comes from GrubStreet.com.
GrubStreet.
So check all those out. Thanks, guys.
That was fun.
Bye.
Happy finals. I wish you all luck.
Hooray! See you.
Bye.